Good morning, church. Good morning. Jetty, how are you, buddy? Everybody good? Ready for the Advent season, Christmas? I was telling the early service, I like chocolate.
Amen, amen.
But I don't get to eat it because my wife eats all the chocolate in the house. Thank you, Chance. It's nice to have your own personal drummer. He's in the family, so what can I say? Glad that you're here. Are you ready to worship? Well, welcome to our service. Welcome to our live stream group that's worshiping at home. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. You are the King of Kings. And you loved us enough to send Jesus to become one of us. May we never forget that. May we never take it for granted. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place today? We pray that the precious name of Jesus would be high and lifted up, and that our hearts would be stirred. We pray it in that name that is above every name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Rise if you are able as we worship.
This morning, I'm going to ask you to just jump right into worship. Things are going to flow a little differently, just a little bit. It's our first season of Advent. The other thing is, I need you to just trust me and follow along with these songs. So we're going to come out of some worship songs into some Christmas songs and back and forth. Just let the Lord lead you closer to Him and follow. But I want you to know one thing this morning, church. Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission for your heart and your soul. And He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God as well. But He's the King of Kings. He created you. He created everything. And Jesus Christ, the baby in a manger, is the Lion of Judah as well, with all the power. And that He came on a rescue mission for you. So this morning, we want to lift Him up on high. And our call to worship is, Hail, Hail, Lion of Judah. Let the Lion roar. And I want that to be an invitation for you to praise God, to ascribe to Him first place in all of creation, and then let the Lion roar. It's ask God to move in our world. Ask God to move in your life. I'm asking Him to move in my heart, that the power of the Lion of Judah would change me to the will of God, to the likeness of Christ.
Let the Lion roar. Hail, Hail, Lion.
bridge to end this song. Prepare the way of the Lord. And I want this to be an invitation as we begin this season of Advent. That God, I'm open to what you want to do in my life this year for Christmas. That this Christmas wouldn't just be about sharing gifts and being with family and eating chocolate. And those things are great. They really are. And I want you to do those and I want you to enjoy them. But I want you to prepare your heart for what God wants to do in this church, what God wants to do in your life this Christmas season. Because he's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He loves you. And he wants to be inside of you. So invite him in and say, Jesus, your will be done in my life. But there's no limit to what God can do. There's no limit. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way.
My heart is yours, Lord. Come and move in our lives this Christmas season to your glory. Amen. All right, church, I invite you to be seated as we have our first Advent reading this year.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." This morning, we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. This candle symbolizes the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God is with us. Therefore, we have hope.
The angels did say.
Children, you are dismissed this morning to Children's Church, and the rest of you may be seated.
Good morning again. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have you again worshiping with us online. I want to encourage you to register your attendance through our app. That would be awesome if you could do that. We have our annual church Christmas party, all church Christmas party this evening, starting at 5:30. We have a program in the sanctuary which the children will perform, and then we'll move to the fellowship hall for a meal. You don't have to be a member of our church to attend that. We would love to have everybody come. There'll be plenty of food. It's always a great time of celebration and fellowship. The monthly men's breakfast that was scheduled for this coming Saturday the 9th has been postponed till January the 13th. Wiley Baptist had a conflict. We have a conflict also this month, so we'll meet back at Wiley Baptist in January. It's 7:30. On the 13th of January. And next Sunday is Christmas workshop from 2 to 4. And kids will pay $15 and come and make 10 or so gifts for their friends and family. We have lots of servants, which is awesome. We could use some more kids. So if you are planning on your children coming, go ahead and sign them up or sign up your grandchildren. That's always a great opportunity for children to understand what it's like to give, not necessarily just receive. During Christmas, that's what that ministry is about. So this morning, I'm going to pray through the names in the bulletin. So if you have a bulletin with you, I'd encourage you to grab that and just try to track with me as I pray. I said this last week, you know, this is a difficult time of year for some reason. You know, I struggled with depression during Christmas time for years. And God brought freedom from that. So I can have a joyful Christmas season. But it's just a hard time for a lot of people for a number of reasons. So I want to remember that segment of our church population or population at large as we pray. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I just thank you for opportunities to intercede on behalf of those who are struggling, Lord. And I do pray for those who may have a difficult time during this season, especially maybe if they've experienced loss and that loss is pretty fresh. It's almost like a double whammy with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's just a hard time of year for some, God. I just pray that you bring supernatural peace into the lives of those who have no peace this time of year. I pray you bring supernatural comfort as well to those who need comforting. And Lord, just be mighty this Christmas season in the lives of people. Father, we lift up Austin Tice to you, Lord, who was kidnapped 8 or 10 years ago in the Middle East. Father, I don't know if he's with you or not, but if he's with you, God, I pray that you give closure to the family. And Father, if he's not with you, God, I just pray that you bring him home safely. Pray for Luhan Barrow, who's recovering from the effects of a stroke, Lord. Would you bless her? Would you bless our brother Bob Wood, God, who's in the midst of a cancer battle? I thank you for the peace that he has. And Lord, I pray that continue, Lord. Just heal his heart, heal his mind. Lift up Evelyn Mitchell to you, Father. I pray you bless her. And God, I pray for Pete Martin, Lord. I just pray for strength for his back, Lord God, as he struggles in that area, Father. And I pray for Luke Thornhill, who's undergoing a radical spine straightening procedure in the Metroplex. God, would you bless that young man? Would you bless that family, God? We pray for a spine that's in a position where it'll allow him to do the things that you've created him to do. God, just touch that family. Pray for Hannah Matthews, who's recovering from COVID. Pray for Robin Lane, who has a broken elbow on one arm, a broken wrist on the other. God, I just pray for healing and comfort and peace for her. Make a way for her. Pray for the family of Harold Abbey. And regarding his passing, we pray for strength and continued healing for Linda Everhart. Pray for Irene Mason, Father. I just thank you that she was here this morning in the early service. God, continue to heal her body. And we pray for Bill McKay, who's undergoing cancer treatments over the next 2 weeks, Father. So we just present these needs to you. We present these people to you. And Father, we just pray that you do the things that only you can do in their lives, in their hearts, in their bodies, that brings you glory and honor. And Father, just help us in our intercession. We're told to pray without ceasing. And Jesus, you are at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for the saints. Non-stop intercession. So would you teach us through the Holy Spirit how we can do that and continue just to live the life that you've called us to live. And we thank you for opportunities to pray. Thank you that you're good. Lord, as Cody prayed, I pray that this is a Christmas season unlike any other for all of us. And Lord, if we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the season, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you just kind of redirect us. May our gaze be on you this Christmas season. And we thank you for the sacrifice of the Son. And we pray in his name the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to remind you of giving opportunities. You can give electronically. You can also give through the offering boxes by the doors. And in church, we say this often, thank you so much for your faithfulness. You know, it allows us to do more than just keep the lights on. We have opportunities to reach out into our community and bless others and around the state and around the nation, and actually through Operation Christmas Child around the world. So thank you so much.
That you love me like you say you do. Well, I've got years and years of striving. There was nothing left to prove. Or could it really be this simple? That your kindness changes everything. Christ changes everything. It's like your grace is on a mission to tear down my religion. 'Cause you're all I really need. Come, oh, come me. Some captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Open wide our heavenly home.
rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. How you love me when I'm broken, and how you love me when
is the King has come. Amen. The King has come. Amen. Let's bring him praise and glory this morning.
stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old, it shall not yield and shall not faint. By his blood, Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory,
Christ demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And the message of Christmas is, God has been for you the whole time, and he wants to be with you. So maybe there's someone this morning that thinks God is a mean bully. It's a lie going around, very prevalent in our world today, but it's a lie. And you can trust the goodness of God, because he has demonstrated his love for you and for me. So maybe this morning you've been scared of God. I want to tell you the truth. He loves you. He's for you. So maybe this is the morning of salvation for you. All you have to do is open up your heart to his Holy Spirit, because he has made the way. So maybe as we sing this again, praise the Father, praise the Son, for the first time, you would experience the goodness and the love of God, the King of Kings who came to serve. In your own heart, I invite you, if you've never done that, to open up your heart to him and allow Jesus to make your heart his home. And if you know him, let's give him thanks and praise for what he's done. Sing it out, church. Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. And praise the Spirit.
Well, welcome again. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. You feel the Holy Spirit this morning? I pray that you do. If you are a guest, we are especially glad that you're here. I'm glad everybody's here, but we're especially blessed to have guests with us. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you after the service. I'll be down at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Beginning in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we trust that you are here because we have your promise that you will be with us. Holy Spirit, would you speak in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you seen these manger scenes? A lot of people have them out in their front yard. It's kind of, most of the time they're white and they're so big, you know, and they have a lot of times have a light shining up. Anybody else seen those besides me? I'm the only one that's seen one. Well, last year, Cheryl and I decided we'd like to have one of those. We'd like to have one of those in our front yard. So we began to search the internet. Everything's always good on the internet, right? So we began to search the internet because we couldn't find one locally here. So we found one, and it's advertised, you know, pretty good price, and 4 feet tall, and which would probably about right here. And we thought, okay, let's do that. So we ordered this manger scene. It took a little while to come in, but we knew it would because the internet promised that it would. And it finally came in this box. Let me show you. This is nice, man. This, there's Mary and Joseph. I may have to bring this to you. Should I bring this a little closer so y'all can see Mary and Joseph? 4 foot tall. I told Cheryl, I said, well, first of all, we were a little disgusted at the false advertising, but then we had a tremendous laugh over it. And I told Cheryl, I said, man, that'll make a nice Christmas tree ornament. I mean, we can... Anyway, you know, the world promises us a lot of things. The enemy promises us a lot of things. And many times, he doesn't come through. The world doesn't come through on its promises. God always comes through on his promises. Always. So we're starting an Advent sermon series today, God with us, God with us. And today's message is God promised, God promised. And as I said, when God makes a promise, he always comes through. First thing I want us to talk about, first point, God made an everlasting promise of the Christ. You can go all the way back. I've got some scriptures in your handout there, but I want to even go back a little bit further. In Genesis chapter 3, you know, Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, and sin had come into the equation, and Satan had enticed them to do that. And God comes back in the garden, and he's obviously not pleased, and he's not pleased with the serpent. And here's what he says, and this is found in Genesis 3:15. God says to the serpent, I will put enmity, which is a severe hatred, is what it is, between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And Billy and I were talking before the service. I wanted to make sure that, you know, I understood that. And Billy and I are in agreement. your offspring, meaning the devil's offspring, is unsaved people, I believe. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And then it shifts what God is saying. This is the first prophecy of the Messiah. Listen to these last sentence. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is 4,000 years before Christ is born, roughly. And God is already prophesying the Messiah, because we understand through the cross that Satan struck the heel of the Savior, but Jesus stomped on the head of the serpent. He gave us life. And then, so for 4,000 years before Christ comes, God is already saying, he's coming. I promise it. He's coming. Genesis 12, God makes covenant with Abraham. This is some 2,000 years or so before Christ. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. He's pointing to who? Jesus. Because Jesus came through the lineage of Abraham and David, and that was his line. And as God is making this covenant with Abraham, he's promising a Messiah. And then in Genesis 17, he renews that covenant with Moses. He says to Moses, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting, that's an important word, an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So he's making this covenant, this promise to his people. I'm unpacking this slowly, so stay with me. Then in Isaiah chapter 7, approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah hears from the Lord and writes this down. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. You want a sign? The Lord's going to give it to you. The virgin will be with child. And even I know that doesn't happen every day. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you will call him Emmanuel, which we know means God with us. God with us. Not a good man, not a prophet, God with us, Emmanuel. And then Isaiah in chapter 9 that we just read a moment ago, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And here's his second one, Mighty God. Jesus, this son that is to be born, is God. He is making more promises to us. God makes an everlasting promise to send the Messiah, to send the Christ. Second point, why did he come? God promised to save us from sin. Matthew chapter 1, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son. So I'm going to stop for just a second. So there it is. Jesus is completely God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was also completely human, because he was birthed by Mary, a human being. So there it is. He was divine, but he was also human. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Think about that. 4,000 years before Christ is born, God is already telling the serpent what's going to happen. You're going to strike his heel, but guess what? He's going to smash your head. And then he sends Jesus to save us from our sins. And he's making all these promises to his people, which at the time he's making all these promises before Christ, it was Israel. It was the Jewish people. They were his chosen people. And guess what? Point three, we, non-Jewish people, we are heirs to God's promise through Christ. We're grafted in. We become part of the promise. We are grafted into this promise. Matthew 1, again, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that Matthew is writing that the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, what Isaiah wrote 700 years prior to Christ's birth. Does anybody starting to think we might have a big God on our hands here? And Galatians 3:29 says this, if you and I, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We have been grafted in to that promise. What is the promise? That he would be our God, we would be his people, that he would save us from sin and death. That's the promise. I don't know about you, that's good stuff. And because we have been through Christ, because we have been grafted in, we are heirs according to the promise, Romans 8 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I love what you said, Cody. So many times, even coming out of pulpits, we preach this, and Christians will share this mean God, that if you don't live up to standards, he's going to zap you or something. No, Romans also says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. I don't know about you, but that's what sold me. That's why I said yes to Jesus, because of his kindness towards me. I deserved wrath and I received mercy. Anybody else? Anybody else? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Church, God is a God of promises. And he's not only a God of promises, he's a God of fulfilled promises. You won't get a 12-inch manger scene with Jesus. You get the four-foot model. The same one that was advertised. God is a God of promises. He's a God of fulfilled promises. And church, that's something to share and to celebrate. Before we go to the Lord's Supper, there is a passage also in Exodus where God is talking to Moses, and as he's bringing out the nation of Israel, there's so many parallels between bringing them out of bondage of slavery and how Christ has brought us out of bondage of sin, and there's so many parallels there, but God says to Moses, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Now think about you and I through Christ. We're redeemed through outstretched arms. As Christ's arms are nailed to a cross, we're redeemed. And church, this Advent season, I don't know, we get so caught up in stuff, but that's something to celebrate and remember. In fact, this meal, Jesus said, when you partake of this meal, remember me. If you would turn with me, you can watch it follow on the screen, or turn page 12 in your hymnal. I was telling the early service that, you know, I pray that these words, as we recite these together and as I read these words, that there'll be richness, that it'll touch our hearts, what we're reading. It won't be like the, why am I going blank on the the cartoon. What did I say? Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown's teacher. You remember those? And some of you old people like me, you've seen Charlie Brown before. But it'll be more than that. As we read these words together, as we share them together, let them penetrate our hearts. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Church, do you love him? I believe you're invited. Who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin, church? You're invited. To seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'll pray your own personal prayer of confession before our loving and holy God. Hear the good news, church. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. Gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If those who are serving would come forward to receive. Christ our Lord has invited you to his table. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins, you're welcome. You do not have to be a member of our church to come and serve, but also no one is required to come if you do not wish to be served. That's up to you as well. There's two stations on this side and two stations on this side. You'll be given a piece of bread. You dip it into the cup, partake in that way. If you'd like the individual elements, you can come to the center. Take those back to your seat to serve yourself there. Come.
Finished.
the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and bid us for heaven to live with thee there.
For unto us a child is born, church. Unto us a son is given. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he came to save us. God promised, and he sent him. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.